Hello and welcome to another lockdown edition of Tibbles Nibbles. And this week we're going to talk about steak. Our favourite places to eat it. If we've had bad steaks, where do we have those?
Is there such a thing?
There is, yeah. The places we like to buy meat from to cook it at home and how we cook it at home.
Sounds great to me.
Yeah, I think so. So let's get started.
Oh, Tibbles Nibbles always makes me so hungry.
You've got to have steak.
Don't eat rice in pubs.
Yeah, well, as in beef tallow. You had to leave your shoe behind the bar.
Crackling shouldn't be bloppy.
Oh, and pies.
Only psychopaths eat burgers in Nando's.
Tibbles Nibbles. Wow, he loves his food.
So, what should we start with? Should we start with steak restaurants? I think it's probably the bit that's most familiar to people who would have eaten out in London.
I mean, why don't we start at the start? Why don't we just talk about what steak we like?
Okay.
As in the actual, because I think isn't a lot to do with steak, the cuts?
Yes.
And then we can talk about the restaurants afterwards.
I think that sounds like a good plan.
Yeah,
that's
all right.
We have a plan.
Sorry to change your...
No, it's all right. What was going around in my head?
I didn't use the and yes, accepting thing then. I just rode straight over your
tongue.
Yeah,
no, I think that's absolutely okay. Fine. I don't mind that. So, cuts of steak, and we're talking beef here.
Yeah, what's your favourite?
My favourite is ribeye on the bone, I think.
Yep. I mean, that's quite short and sweet, so I'm not going to argue with you
no,
on that.
No, I mean, we've done a number of ribeyes sort of in the past, and I think that's come out well. The other thing, having said that, though, I think your favourite steak, or the favourite steak you have of that, is sirloin.
I do like a sirloin. And
yeah,
you got a sirloin in from a very, very nice butcher's.
Yeah, from Eat Meat, NW5.
Oh, it was unbelievable.
It was pretty good, wasn't it?
Unbelievably good flavour. Is that where you also got that rib in?
Yes,
from?
where I got the bone-in ribeye from as well.
I mean, that was good, but I don't think the bone-in ribeye was necessarily better than the one I get from the cheaper butchers.
No, I feel certainly not to justify the difference, I think.
But that sirloin was incredible.
Yeah.
I think that's where it was. It was my amazement at what a sirloin could taste like.
Yes.
Yeah, I go to the just your communal garden butchers on Walthamstow High Street. I would give them a shout out, but I can't remember their name. Something like Patterson and Sons or something like that. It's absolutely excellent.
Don't worry, listener, we'll look it up and
yeah, stick it in the notes.
I'll put it in the notes, in the show notes, because we have those now. No, we don't. Well, we can start.
No,
Let's start doing show notes.
No, you do a little bit of blurb, don't you, before
I do on the website, yes, tibblenibbles.com.
Yeah. So on the website, you can say what it actually is called. They have a little steak section now, but I ignore that, and I just go to the normal meat section, and get them to cut a single, or in fact, remember that time we did that double rib? That
yeah.
That was three and a half kilos of steak.
Yeah, and we took most of it down.
We did. It took an hour to cook. But yeah.
No, that was very good.
But yeah, I just get them to cut a slice off the rib beef joints.
Yes.
And that's absolutely incredible. You know, and also, don't need it all, you know, French finished on the ribs to make it into a tomahawk. Tomahawks are really trendy at the moment.
They
aren't
are.
They? And I hate them. I absolutely despise them. And I despise them because it's a bone-in ribeye steak or a slice of a ribeye, a slice of a rib roasting joint.
Yeah.
Without that little extra bit of meat. And I love those little extra bits of meat on the bone that you get.
They go nice and crispy.
Although, and we'll talk about this in a minute, I'm sure, I don't like, and why would you, enjoy a well-done steak? But it's quite nice to have little bits of well-done on the side.
Mm.
And you get those. If you French trim it, you're wasting food, surely.
100%. I mean, I'm sure that'll go into the sausage pile or something like that. I have to say, I quite like a fillet steak every once in a while, but I won't generally order it in favour of something else, but I quite like it in with something. So if you have it like beef Wellington, makes me happy.
Yeah, we've talked about a restaurant that did a good beef Wellington, didn't we? We talked about, it was Mama
Shelter. On the Sunday brunch, which I'll put a link to to that podcast episode in the show notes as well, now that I thought that we have show notes.
Well, you write them.
I know. Can't expect me to remember stuff. That's why I talk about these things, so I can actually remember where I've been and what I've done.
I can cope with you not remembering the content of a show note, but not the fact that you write show notes. That'll be why some episodes have them and some don't.
Basically, yeah.
Brill.
Yeah.
Okay, I got it now.
I'm very professional here. I mean, this is... Well, hey, when I have nice people talking about my podcast, they do say it's the amateur, and this is the very amateur bit. But anyway, let's get back to the steak. So the one that we sort of miss out, or that I seem to miss out quite a bit, is rump steak, which is what I always used to have when I was younger, because...
It's my... Yeah, I agree. It was my go-to steak then. And even now, the butchers,
yeah.
I mean, they do some incredibly sized rump steaks.
Yes.
So for about £10, you can have a rump steak that would...
Feed three people.
for me.
Which is generally how I view things. If it says serves three, I'm like, yep, that's right for me.
Especially if it's meat. Yeah.
Yes. One thing that I found really revolutionary, and I think we'll probably get onto this when we talk about cooking steak, is I find if I get rump, I always salt it for at least 24 hours, and then I cook it. And that makes a massive difference in terms of tenderness. Because the flavour's there with rump, but I sometimes find that the tenderness isn't quite there.
Just try a little tenderer.
Yeah. There's no way I can afford the rights to that song.
I won't sing it, don't worry. I think that rump steak is something that I actually kind of forgotten about. But you're right, it was my go-to steak for a while, long time. And even a couple of years ago, buying steaks. I think if I can be honest about myself here a little bit, it's the fact that they're big. And I tend to buy them because they're big.
Yes.
Whereas a sirloin in front of you and it's cut as a steak, it's quite small.
Yes.
It's taken me going to interesting London restaurants where essentially they want to sell you massive amounts of meat for an extortionate amount of money.
Yes.
That's made me realise that you can actually have a sirloin that's an inch or two or three, 3 inches
yes.
thick and then cook that in various ways. And I think that might be why that sirloin steak you cooked was very nice, because that was at least 2 inches thick.
It was,
we shared
yeah.
it. So having the one steak to share that is massive, I actually prefer that to having
they're easier to cook for sure.
Yeah, having two or three steaks. So basically, if me and you, Tibbs, are having a steak, we will share a massive steak
yes.
rather than having a smaller one each.
Yes, exactly.
And I think it's more fun having that massive steak and sharing it. And I think it's better to cook that massive steak yeah. as well.
Okay, so getting on to massive steaks, and I think we should talk about restaurants that do massive steaks.
Well, what about other cuts, though? Because I do... Yeah, okay, go on.
What other cuts are there? So those are the sort of four main ones that we have.
Yeah, I mean, I've been watching those. You get onto YouTube and you start watching, you know, American butchers kind of doing different things and trying to find the single steak within a beef shin or something like that. What's the flat iron steak? Because they're called Americans. Yeah. Americans have different names for all the steaks.
Yeah, which is pretty ridiculous. But anyway, we won't offend our American listener, our fantasy American listener.
We don't have an American. Yeah,
we might do, actually, to be fair. I don't know. I need to check the location of our listener for each episode. Because it might be different. You never know.
Isn't ribeye an American term?
Quite possibly. I mean, what would we call it?
I can't remember now, but it's called something else.
I think it's become much more of a...
It has become quite common.
Yeah. But we haven't got to the American thing of calling sirloin New York strip.
No.
Which I think is the same thing.
So what's the flat iron then?
The flat iron is a bit of the chuck. Well, again, the American term, the chuck, of the shoulder.
It's the blade? Is it a blade
yeah,
steak?
So I think it might well be... Yeah, it might be the blade
feather
steak
blade
or the feather
or
blade.
Yeah. That's
feather blade, which is Pitcue. We're always very well known for their smoked feather blade.
They sell it in Waitrose, and I know the old Jamie Oliver's quite a fan of a bit of feather blade. He says it's cheaper, but Waitrose, it's not cheaper.
Well, no.
I can get rump steak cheaper in it with Waltham steak.
Yeah, and then you get to other things like Bavette steak, but those generally I wouldn't eat directly. I wouldn't cook them and just eat them. I have done, but I don't think they quite work. Those are the ones that you put in.
They're the rounds.
Like, no, they're the very, they're sort of the long, flat
steaks
that basically come off. They're like the rib. They're like the flaps of meat that are on the ribs.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, they'll go into things like tacos
right.
and fajitas.
So it's a bit more like stewing steak.
Well, no, they're the opposite, because you literally flash fry them for seconds.
Oh, so I mean, I don't know what it's actually called, but frying steak. You see
yeah,
that
sort of thing. Yeah, very long
yeah,
fibers,
yeah, yeah. flat.
Yeah, so generally you cook them very quickly, like 30-40 seconds on each side, and then chop them into strips.
So what about the rounds? You know, the steak eye, the steak rounds, which
well,
I think are
that's the center of the ribeye.
No, that's the fillet, isn't it, or something?
No, I don't think so.
What's the top side then?
The top side is the top part of the bum muscle, basically.
Because you can get silver side as well. You can
yes.
chop that. And I think that's what Aldi do, is they're kind of like cheap steaks where you get like two in a packet for about £3.
Okay. Yeah, well, those are all rump steaks.
Yeah, well, I think that's a little bit like when my nan used to get a bit of silver side and kind of cut that. I think it's kind of like the poor man's steak.
Yeah.
But I do tend to find that if you cook it, there's lots of chefs who tell you how to cook steaks, but Gordon Ramsay was the one that I saw. His method of garlic and thyme.
Yes.
You know, I cook those round steaks, the cheap ones from Aldi or, you know, the whatever cuts you can get. The flavour is incredible.
Yeah.
I do like it. You know, finish it with a bit of butter, bit of thyme.
Yeah.
Lovely. Very nice.
Okay, so should we get onto then how we cook our steaks? That
yeah,
seems like a nice
yeah,
little segue.
That's segueing in, yeah.
So I've tried many methods of cooking steak.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the sort of maybe slightly more... No, probably don't want to be eating a pork scratching right
yeah,
now,
just,
even though they look
I
very
just,
good.
I just reach for a pork scratching and then realise that I then can't say anything for about 5 minutes.
Well, maybe you should, then it'll give me some chance to soliloquise. But yeah, so my favourite way of doing steak, I think, is probably what's generally called the reverse sear method. I wonder if my mic can actually pick up the crunching. It probably can. I made pork scratchings yesterday. We might cover that up in another episode.
They are really good.
And so generally
what
I do...
Is that annoying?
That is really annoying. I'd imagine it is. So generally what I do is I'll cook it either over the cool side of the barbecue or in the oven on a low temperature until I've hit about 5 or 10 degrees below where I want to be in the middle. And then it goes into a frying pan or the hot side of the barbecue for literally just long enough to make it nice dark brown on either side. And then it's ready. And then you leave it to rest for a minimum of 10 minutes to let the colour sort of equalise in the middle.
Yeah, you should rest it, shouldn't you? And this is the thing that is only new to me, is that you should rest it for at least half the time you cooked it for.
Yeah, I agree with that. 100%.
That's the rule that I was told.
Because it stays really nice and warm, whatever happens.
Yeah, no, it does. I know. And you can wrap it in foil if you're worried about it dropping in temperature. That letting it rest afterwards really does, like you say, it just balances out the flavours, the juices. It makes it a much better steak.
It does. Hacking into it straight away.
Really not the way.
Sometimes I have to because I'm just so greedy. But if I can stand to let it... Actually, I quite like making sauce out of the pan, what's left in the pan.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think probably if I was going to criticize myself for something that I tend to do is I tend to use slightly too much oil in the pan, which then means that steak doesn't stick to the pan enough to give me some really good fond afterwards to make a nice sauce out of.
I'll tell you what I do like to use. I don't use as much fat as you when I'm cooking in the pan. You like to use ghee, don't you? Clarified butter. I like, if I can, I'll use it. Well, my go-to is a little bit of meat fat, a bit of lard or something.
Yeah.
But what I really like, and this is something that I learned from Japan, when you buy a top-end steak in Japan, they give you a little bit of the fat from the beef to render down in the pan and then cook the steak in.
Oh, nice.
So I must admit that if I'm getting a steak, because I'm not a big fan of eating the fat when it's done.
And yeah, I know that's where fat, you and me are the absolute opposite.
Yeah, but I think you're in the minority.
Well, maybe not. Listener, be the tiebreaker. Do you eat the fat?
Yeah, but I've seen you literally munch through whole spoonfuls of fat from a ribeye.
Yes.
I can't
and
do that.
And it's amazing.
Not unless that fat is crispy or, you know, no.
If it's well rendered, it just sort of melts in your mouth. Mm.
But what I like to do, going back to that, is so say I've got a rump steak, which has that little bit of fat on the outside, is I will trim it, but I will cook it in that fat rendered down. So I'm still getting the flavour from the fat, but I'm not actually having to eat it on my plate afterwards. Yes. If I'm lucky, I'll ask the butcher just to throw a little bit of, you know, actual beef fat in with it. So yeah, in Japan,
I'm sure
you always
do that.
You always get a little bit extra. But Japanese steaks, I can't do it.
What, Wagyu, Kobe beef, all that sort of stuff? I've never had one.
I mean, Wagyu is just Japanese for beef, so it makes me smile that people go, oh, Wagyu beef, or just saying beef. It's like koi carp. Koi is Japanese for carp. So you're just basically going carp, just in two different languages. That always makes me smile.
Yeah, but you can't expect British people to know two languages. That's just crazy talk.
But of course it is. But when you talk about Kobe beef, that's what people think Wagyu beef is.
Yes.
Kobe beef is, the massaging the cows and feeding them beer. And I have to say that the steaks that come off those cows, or the steaks that are prized, they have this really amazing pale marbling all the way through. And they like the belly cuts. It just tastes like fat to me. You'd probably love them.
I would probably love
them. You would probably absolutely love them. But we're talking people going to the butchers and spending hundreds of pounds on these cuts of meat. Now, my father-in-law decided to get one to let me see what a good one was. And I had to be really polite, but I felt I was eating something that was like 50-50 meat to kind of fat content.
That's basically what it is,
And I just didn't enjoy it.
Yeah.
But what I did discover was things like fillet steak, because they're kind of the muscle and really solid. In Japan, that's the cheap bit they throw away. They're not interested in that. So in Japan, I can go and eat like a king, like the finest fillet steaks from, you know, the best Wagyu cows in the world for relatively not as much money as they're like eating the what we would call brisket or stewing steak. But the fact that it's been mellowed down with all the fat, you can then quickly fry it.
That's really interesting. Because for sure, I like that. I mean, the other ways that I've tried cooking steak is the standard method. If I've got a thinner piece of steak, and we did do this a couple of times actually with I mean, thinner in inverted commas, bits of steak where we just stuck it in a pan, and when it went brown on the outside, it was cooked in the middle.
See, I'm quite good at sensing that. I mean, I've bought a thermometer, so I can really be sure.
Yeah.
And it has made my life a lot less stressful when I'm trying to cook a steak.
I think that is the number one thing for cooking steak is get a meat thermometer. Any of this stuff around, you can poke a steak... And now how cooked it is, it's
that
rubbish.
That one about depends on which finger you touch your thumb with, and then you press that little bit of thumb, and it's like, oh, that's how you start. That's bullshit.
Yeah.
I try not to swear on this podcast, but it's bullshit. It's absolute bullshit.
It is. I mean, particularly since I'd imagine if you got four different people and got them all to put their index finger and thumb together and then did some kind of scientific test to see what the rebound is on that bit of flesh. It'll be different for everybody. It'll be completely different for some people.
I'm going to say it's completely different for me now after having spent 10 years working as a teacher and just typing, as opposed to 10 years ago when I was a stage manager putting steel deck on the back of vans and stuff. Like, the muscles in my hands are totally different.
Well, I'm one of your hands at least.
Yeah. But even relatively speaking, even that.
Yeah. So meat thermometer definitely has revolutionised my cooking.
I mean, you've got some quite heavy duty technical ones, you know, Wi-Fi ones. And
yeah, that's because I'm a smoking nerd.
But I've literally just got one that cost me about £6. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not expensive.
No.
It will absolutely mean that you can cook your steak exactly how you want it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's fantastic.
Yeah.
The other way I did try, I you know, I've done them on the barbecue, really thin steaks on the really hot side of the barbecue is amazing. The other way that I did it, I tried the Gilles Robuchon method, which is basically you get a cast iron pan and then as many blocks of butter as your heart will allow you to buy. And then essentially you deep fry the steak in butter. And then as the butter starts to overcook in the pan, you then just basically pour it away and stick a new block on. And I wasn't quite this excessive, but apparently if you have a steak at one of his restaurants, it's been cooked in 2 packs of butter.
Wow.
Which is pretty impressive. I would quite like to deep fry a steak.
I've got a neighbor.
See how that comes out.
You pretty much do when we come around.
Yeah, I know. I need to stop that because it definitely doesn't. It definitely stops the sauce from being as good.
You just need to have just enough, just to kind of a thin film on the bottom of the pan. Yeah. That's all you need, and then then you've got more ratio of meat juice.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
But I have to say, I'm a massive fan of just cooking it in the pan.
Yeah.
The only time I've ever felt the need to put it in the oven was when we did that 3 kilo double rib steak, because there's no way you're going to get through to the middle of that, because it was sort of 3 or 4 inches.
It was, and we had to basically take the end off it with a saw.
60 centimetres to your younger viewers.
No, that's 60 centimetres is like, that's 60, like 2 feet.
6 centimetres to your younger viewers.
That would be impressive if you managed to all eat a 2 foot tall steak.
Now you're talking.
I do fancy my chances.
I feel like John Candy doing the 96. So.
That'd be amazing.
Oh, Shutlieb's done that as well. I mentioned her in the last podcast. Yeah, she's done the 96.
Oh, that's amazing.
That's your video for later, mate.
Yeah, I might have to watch that in a darkened room.
Oh. What the feck is Tibbles Nibbles?
But going back to charcoal's supposed to be the best mm-hmm. way of cooking a steak, and that segues us into the restaurants, doesn't it? Because there's one particular restaurant that swear by using charcoal, and they're kind of the most famous one in London, I reckon.
Yeah, I mean, should we go straight for the top and straight into Hawksmoor?
Well, yes.
And a love letter to the probably my favourite restaurant in London.
Yes.
Or one of them anyway, certainly in my top two.
Yeah.
So I first went to Hawksmoor quite a few years ago. In fact, mm-hmm. I think mm-hmm. the first time I went...
Which one was it? Because there's a few now, wasn't there?
The first one I went to was Guildhall. And I went on the first anniversary of my kidney transplant.
Hurrah!
Which would have been 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it was the first time I went. I'd always looked at it and seen it and looked at the prices and gone, I cannot afford that. Yeah, I can't justify that.
It's a lot.
But back then I was like, you know what? I survived an event that I possibly shouldn't have done. Mm-hmm. Or a few years ago I certainly wouldn't have done. Let's push the boat out and go somewhere really nice.
Why not?
And so we went to Hawksmoor, and my life has not been the same since, because I'd never had a steak that good up until that point. And I shared a bone-in ribeye with my dad, mm-hmm. and it was absolutely spectacular.
What I like about Hawksmoor is the fact that they've got the steaks up on a little chalkboard.
Yes.
And you can order them, and then it just genuinely disappear, you know, so like it'll say they've got, you know, a 1 kilo ribeye.
Yes.
And if they've only got one left and you go to the waiter, I want that kilo, they do go over and just wipe it off. It's not just pretentious bull, it actually mm-hmm. is real.
Yeah, 100%. One thing that I did learn, and I didn't realise this, but you can phone them up like 24 hours before and tell them what steak you wanted. But part of me goes, I'm not sure I want to do that, because it's quite nice to go in and go, oh, what have they got?
I can feel my rage building. It's like people that book tables in pubs, especially on a Friday night. It's like, no, go to the blooming pub and sit down and have a drink. Don't pre-book. Yeah, can I want a table for 4 o'clock for Francis, please? No. Go to the pub, sit at a table. Don't pre-book. Enjoy your time there. Hate pre-booking stuff.
Apart from during the World Cup, when we did pre-book our table.
No, that's different. You're all there for the same thing then. You're not there just there on a random Friday night.
Okay. What steaks have you had at Hawksmoor?
I've only been to Hawksmoor a couple of times. Basically because I am just a poor schoolmaster and can't afford to go with a family, and I can't afford to go as much as absolutely I would like to. To be fair, the steak there is great, but I know I can also cook a great steak at home.
Yes. I think you're right, and I think now that there are some really good quality butchers that are sort of turning up, and the ones that spring immediately to mind are, you know, you can get a ginger pig and you can order the steaks that basically, there's the same ones that you get at Hawksmoor.
Hmm.
Turner and George as well, I mean, which is half owned by Richard Turner, who's the executive chef at Hawksmoor. Meat NW5 is another one that I really like.
I haven't thought about this. I'm only thinking about this now. I hadn't pre-thought this.
Yeah.
I think the fact is a steak is a wonderful thing.
Yes.
And since I was a little kid, steak has been seen as a luxury treat. You know, what do you want for your special birthday tea?
Yes.
Steak and chips, all the trimmings. And again, at my nan's house, on an oval plate with a little sharp knife. Having said that, it would be well done because that's the only way steak was ever done. But, you know, I learned that, and I soon realised and went completely the other way because I prefer a blue steak now, but I'm quite happy to...
Yeah, you see, that's where we're different, I think. I like medium rare.
I'm quite happy for medium rare, but what I tend to do now is I ask the chef how to cook, how they would want to serve it.
Yes.
Because let's face it, it's not up to me to tell them how to cook a steak.
Mm-hmm.
They're the professionals. They're going to give it to me. If they think their steak should be cooked well done, I will have it well done. If they think it should be medium rare, I'll have it medium rare. If they think it should be blue, then I should. The one benefit of those massive steaks, you know, and the thing is that the ribeyes that we share, is that, you know, we can pick and choose the different kind of colouring that you get within that. You know, close to the bone, it's obviously going to be rarer than it is out towards the flanks. Like I said, I quite like a bit of the crispy that you get off the bone as well.
Yes, yeah, 100%. And so I think steak is pretty much the only thing where you tell the kitchen how you want your food.
At no point do you do that. Well, not in Britain. Anyway. In America, you tell people how you want things all the time.
But yes.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, how do you want your steak cooked? Well, I don't know. You're cooking it.
Yes.
It's your job, your profession.
Yeah, it's that's a really interesting one because you don't go, oh, I want the pasta Alfredo, but I like my pasta a little bit more well done. Could you imagine going into an Italian restaurant and telling a chef how they should cook their pasta?
I imagine it wouldn't end well.
To be honest, the part of me wants to see somebody do it. I obviously wouldn't do it because I'm far too British. But I would love to go into one of those restaurants and just see what the reaction came out. If they went,
it's probably just a bit of a thing, isn't it? It's a Bernie in thing from the 70s. It kind of gave the customer a little bit of it's making the customer feel wanted. It's all pretentious rubbish.
Yeah, but also I think there's a whole thing where some people do have an absolute phobia of pink meat.
You need to take a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all right about it.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you're a modern man.
I mean, that's that dark grey meat that I'm not so keen
on. Yeah, exactly. And I think that is a thing. I mean, and going a little bit off track, I remember the first time I went somewhere and got told that I ordered a pork steak.
Hmm.
And it was the first time that I went, oh, yeah, no, this comes rare. Are you okay with that?
I am still funny with that, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm not. That one actually cured me of it because I didn't get, you know, worms or whatever it is you're supposed to get from it.
Yeah. No, okay, you've made a good point, and I...
And it was really interesting.
...stand corrected, but, yeah, pink pork is still strange to me because I've been brought up, you know, to know that that is... It's a bit like... Well, it's exactly the same as, again, a time when I was in Japan and had barbecue chicken, absolutely beautiful, really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Some kind of crazy bits of the chicken that, you know, they eat the whole thing. Enjoyed that too. But the one thing I did turn my nose up, not the chicken hearts, not the gizzards, not anything. It was the fact that a lot of it was dipped in raw egg. And I really can't deal with raw egg.
Mm.
I think part of it is to do with being brought up and remembering egg wiener curry on the television telling you not to eat raw egg.
Yes.
I think the same way, you know, I've been had it sort of, you know, knocked into me that you don't, you know, pork has to be cooked through.
Yes.
So I would find that a little challenging. Yeah. Pink lamb, absolutely fine.
Mm, 100%.
Although lamb's a funny meat, isn't it? And the fact that it's really nice pink and blush, but it's also really nice well done.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Slow cooked.
The other thing that I remember from that first Hawksmoor meal,
or
a couple of things actually, because the whole thing was really memorable, was it was actually what got my mum eating medium rare steak. Because my mum's not a huge steak person, or hadn't been. She never really thought that she liked it. And so we went there, and Dad and I were sharing this steak, and Mum was there, and she was like, "Oh, I'll quite like, you know, it's a fillet steak. I'll have some fillet steak. That'd be really nice." And when the waiter came over and said, oh, you know, how do you want it cooked? She was like, oh, I'll have it medium well, please. And the sort of waiter very nicely went, well, maybe you should try it. You know, he's obviously fairly practiced at this.
Did he actually say, get out of my restaurant?
No, he didn't. No, and to be honest, it shouldn't, you know, it's interesting. I talked to some chefs about this and they turned around and said, you know, if you want your food cremated, that's how I'll cook it, exactly how you want it. You know, it's not their place to judge. Mm-hmm. But he turned around and said, look, why don't you try it medium rare? And if you don't like it, we'll make you another one. Yeah. So we won't take this one and recook it.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
We will make you a new one entirely from scratch.
I like that. That's ballsy. I like that.
And he said, he basically said, I guarantee you won't do that. And so our steak arrived, her steak arrived, and she was like, this is the best steak I've ever had in my life.
Brilliant.
And as far as I know from then on, she's had her steak medium rare.
Mm.
And sometimes I think you just need that push because, of course, people of my parents' generation and older, certainly my mum didn't grow up, you know, particularly wealthy or well off at all. And so, of course, the meat that they bought, it needed to be cooked all the way through for food safety. And now, obviously, we don't have those sorts of worries. That was obviously, you know, really meaningful. The other thing that I liked, getting on to the other things that we had, it was the first time I'd ever had cream spinach.
Mm-hmm.
Never had creamy spinach before.
Mm-hmm.
And mainly because I've been put off because there were all these jokes about, you know, school dinners and cream spinach and watery food and all this sort of stuff. But I had it there and it was, you know, on the menu because it was this real old school thing that you always have with steak. And
it's a very American thing, isn't it?
And a very American thing, but it's basically the first thing I look for on a steak menu to have as a side.
I like it. I like it a lot.
I absolutely love it. And I have the Hawksmoor cookbook and I make their version of the cream spinach. And I have to say, it's probably the best vegetable dish I make.
So I've been to Hawksmoor a couple of times.
Yes.
One was for Sunday lunch, so we'll discount that, but it was good. Oh, sorry, three times. One was for Sunday lunch. One was for steak. It was for the opening of the one in Shoreditchy area. But because it was a Sunday we went,
yes,
you could have the vegetables with the steak as a side order. That was phenomenal. So that was a steak with the vegetables off the roast dinner.
So basically you just got like one massive thick bit of roast dinner, essentially.
Yeah, that was unbelievable.
That is a good combination.
It was an £8 upgrade. And a Hawksmoor, £8 won't even get you a chip. So that was amazing.
Exactly.
That was really good. But yeah, the first time I went, it was my birthday.
Yeah.
It was a friend's birthday. And my wife took us both out for steak.
Fantastic.
And I have to admit, I did end up ordering one off the board. Because
yes,
I wanted to eat. It was so nice, and I'm greedy, and I ate a whole kilo ribeye to myself. Phenomenal.
It's really good.
Absolutely phenomenal. But at the same time, this must have been, I think, maybe pushing 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never seen a bill that big in a restaurant before in my life. I mean, yeah, I think there was a three at the start of it.
Yes.
You know, there were three people. The steak I ordered was £100.
Yes.
I mean, which was...
That's the other challenge. You don't actually know how much it is because you have to do the maths in your head because...
Yeah,
the prices in the menu are
per 100 grams.
Per 100 grams, and so you go, oh, that's not too bad. Then you realise that the steak that you share between two of you is 1.2, 1.3, 1.4 kilos. And all of a sudden, that's quite a big number.
Well, yeah, you're the wrong side of £100.
Mm-hmm.
So no, you could easily go to Hawksmoor, and if like me and you could go to Hawksmoor, eat for two, not be stupid with what we order, but be, you know, generous because we're both big eaters, we'd easily be £250
on the food alone,
and that's without any drinks.
Yes,
easy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so be warned if you do go to Hawksmoor that you need to have saved up a little bit of cash.
Yeah, it's pretty spendy, but definitely worth it. So, what other places do good steak?
Well,
just
before we do that, the reason we talked about Hawksmoor and is because they charcoal grill their steaks.
They do.
Don't they? That's their thing. That's their USP, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's basically what lets them get to the ridiculously high temperatures that lets you get like a really nice char on the outside. Not char, that's the wrong word, because sometimes I think people go, oh no, it's got a nice char in it, which is this sort of American term, and think it's going to be black on the outside. It's like dark brown is what you're looking for rather than black.
Yeah.
Some people seem to get it, and it's like, I've seen steaks that people go, oh my God, this is an amazing steak, and it's black on the outside, and it's basically like charcoal on the outside. I'm like, that's probably not for me.
Nigella, when she barbecues, talks about her black and blue steaks, which are literally charred on the outside and raw in the middle.
Yeah, I'm not going to have that.
But I have to admit, I see that's the difference between you and me. I quite fancy a bit of that.
Yeah.
Oh. Tibbles Nibbles, the amateur food review.
And so here we are at the end of part one of the steak section. So thank you very much, Stu, for your time. And you can always get in touch with me at www.tibblenibbles.com or tibblenibbles@gmail.com or tibblenibblesblog on Instagram. Thanks very much for your time, and I look forward to welcoming you back for part two.
Oh.
Tibbles Nibbles always makes me so hungry.
You've got to have steak.
Don't eat rice in pubs.
Yeah, what, as in beef tallow. You had to leave your shoe behind the bar.
Crackling shouldn't be floppy.
Oh, and pies.
There we go. That's what this podcast is about. We are telling the listeners.
Tibbles Nibbles. Wow, he loves his food.